This is what us are used to. Us are used to, we select the cake first.
Okay.
Because the cake more often determines what kind of wedding that you end up having. So let's just choose the cake, okay?
Choose the what?
The cake, then.
The Worth Report, featuring Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
So this is a very popular cake with many of the fashionable weddings, you know? And this, I just don't do anymore. And this is fabulous.
Oh, that is incredible. Annie, that's just like the one we saw in the magazine. Mm-hmm. Do you like it, Dad?
Well, what is that? Is that dollars, $1,200?
Black my muscle bags. This is a very reasonable price for a cake of this magnitude.
A cake, Frank, is made of flour and water. My first car didn't cost $1,200.
Welcome to the 90s, Mr. Pong.
This is The Worth Report. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday. Welcome to The Worth Report. If it's Saturday morning, it's The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, along with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, we'll bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning and offer commentary on local, national, and global events that affect your ability to sustain your financial future. Glenn, here we are once again. How are you doing this morning?
Doing fantastic, Nick. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, we're in the summertime. We're in June, and I'm hearing matrimonial bells. I don't know about you, but I've got a couple of weddings I'm going to over the next few weeks, and it's going to be quite interesting.
It is. We have quite a few clients who are getting married as well, so it's an interesting time, and it's interesting to watch them plan for this. We have one client, in fact, had a client who actually planned for 2.5 years.
What?
For their wedding.
2.5 years?
2.5 years for their wedding.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, our listening audience is in for a treat today. We're going to talk about wedding planning. Who would have thought it? Wedding planning. Do you know that $72 billion a year is spent on weddings? Could you imagine? Let me say that again. $72 billion is spent on weddings at an average cost of $20,000 a shot.
Isn't that something?
Could you imagine?
Isn't that something? Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I see it all the time. Weddings are becoming more and more expensive. If you want to book a room, it may cost you $500.
What?
But if you're booking a room for a wedding, that same room is going to cost you $1,000 or $2,000. If you want to get a cake, a birthday cake, your cake may be $200. But if they find out it's for a wedding, they're going to jack that price up three or four times. That's just what, you know, that's how it works.
People are in such a romantic state, and I guess they'll just spend all this money because they just want to have, I guess, an important celebration of this union. That sounds nice, right? Doesn't feel like that good probably weeks later when you start looking at those bills.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, and you definitely want to make sure that each spouse is happy. It's a special occasion.
Oh, it's about happiness, huh?
Yeah, you got, you know.
Okay, I'm just checking. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You've got all your family coming in town and, you know, all of those things. Maybe you're even having a destination wedding. So you definitely want everything to go the right way. So maybe you just spend a little bit more money. That's typically the thought process. Before, I've even had clients who have clipped coupons, saved in every area of their lives. But when it came to the wedding, no holes barred.
Wow. Wow. Well, let me give you a couple more figures you'll find interesting. $19 billion per year is spent on wedding gift registries. Whoa. An average honeymoon budget is $3,600. That's a lot of greenbacks, guy. So, or even Tubmans, I guess we could say now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The challenge is this. You go down to Target, you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, and you go down these aisles and you spend hours picking on what you want for your registry. But you don't spend 5 minutes for your personal budget, but you'll spend all the time in the world here. I'm all for weddings and anything that you can do as long as you are doing it within a plan. If you're doing it and having a budget, then it makes sense to me. But if not, there's a challenge, And, you know, there's so much behind the marriage.
Sure there is.
You know, so much money that goes behind this. And that's what we're going to focus on today.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that. I guess I have a question for you, Glenn. How often do, you know, couples who are planning to get married take a real hard look at each other's financial state before they decide to hook up, as it were, and get married? How important is that?
Oh, it's very important. Typically, it doesn't happen, not in a real way. How much money do you have in your savings account, honey? Well, I have, you know, $5,000. How much do you have? I have $2,000. Maybe we'll save more money. How about that? Sounds good. Let's get married. Because you're enjoying each other. Everybody's lovey-dovey.
Yes.
But we aren't having real solid conversations. That's the time to really have, when you agree to marry someone, that's the time where you need to really dive in, have the tough conversations, especially now more than ever, because the real dynamics of the family are changing. The man used to always make more money than the woman.
Sure.
That's changing.
Yes, it is.
We know now more women are graduating from college, getting more advanced degrees. So therefore, there is a good chance that they could be the breadwinners. How does that affect the family dynamic?
Yeah, that's a great point. I remember when my bride and I got married over 35 years ago now, believe it or not, and I remember we took a copious look at our financial status, and we reviewed our estate, and we discovered neither one of us had anything. And so, you know, it was a real easy decision, you know, to sort of move ahead, you know.
Okay.
But today, it's different. It's so different, you know. It is so different. I've heard of couples getting married and discovering the other couple had so much debt. They didn't know, but when they were dating, they sent their representatives to date.
That's it. That's it.
And so these are the people the other person wanted to see, you know. And they discovered that this person was in incredible debt, and they now inherited that debt.
That's right. It is now your debt. Congratulations. If you're going to get married and this is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you need to know who you're marrying. And from a financial perspective, it's so important to really understand that. One good way of looking at that is credit. With over 40% of all employers now look at credit. Why don't you look at credit? Because you're going to be a lot more intimate than even an employer.
Wow.
So it's important to do that and to see what's out there. Look at the past. And you want to make sure that both of you, if there were mistakes done, that you don't repeat those mistakes.
So what I hear you saying is that each person should ask for a credit report.
Absolutely. And go through it together. So you look and see where you are financially.
Wow.
It's not about trust. It's about understanding.
Trust it's about trust.
You know, it is. It's not just about trust.
Sure.
But it's about understanding, too. It is about trust, and trust is earned. But it's also about understanding so you can work together. That's the important piece. There may be some things that you may be ashamed of, or who better to share it with than your future spouse.
That's true. Well, you know, you hit on an important point, because one of the major reasons that couples, marriages don't work is because of finances. And and to your point, if couples did a little bit more due diligence around that space. But, you know, quite frankly, when couples are in love, you know, that research has found that when couples are in love, there's some chemical reaction that goes on in the brain. And you just believe everything you want to believe about the other person. You don't even want to go to these other places and these deeper conversations because you just want it to work. You know what I'm saying? And so you just really kind of turn off these more critical kinds of questions. And then you go down that path.
And what I found is, so you go down this point and you don't have these tough conversations. So you may not be in the best state that you should be in, but you want to make everything right. So what you do is have this huge wedding and you think that this wedding is going to right all the wrongs.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and that's just clearly not the case at all. In fact, I would say many times people actually get into debt by not planning this out properly. And it's something I am totally against.
Mm-hmm.
If mom and dad is paying for it and they have it to do it,
right,
and it's not going to come back on you, that's fantastic. But if you don't have it, then you don't need to do it.
That's correct.
There's no reason to go into debt for a wedding. By no,
no reason,
means.
You think, huh?
No reason at all, ever, wow. to actually do that. If you don't have the cash to be able to pay for it, then you need to do something different.
Hmm.
You need to
wow.
do something different. Yeah. I mean, most of the time, and this is just my opinion, and I am a man, so I will say that, it's for show. It's for everybody else. And you look at the bride, you look at the groom, they're so tired at the end of it. I mean, it felt like it was like another job, you know, but they wanted everything to go well, and they spent a lot of money to make that happen. That takes away from what, to me, what a marriage should really be about.
Sure.
And what
sure.
a wedding should right. really be about. It should be a fun time, a festive time, and if the money isn't there, it should be inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And if you want something that's grandiose, then you have to plan and save and maximize every dollar you can.
Sure, sure. So my wife and I teach this couples class at our church, the Park Ministries, and it's not unusual for us to say, you know, the wedding is very different from the marriage.
Hmm.
And so clearly the wedding can be incredibly expensive, but it has nothing to do with being married.
Nothing.
And that's a real profound mystery of the whole matter, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It's absolutely incredible.
I mean, you want to plan, and I'm a planner, and my wife was, I mean, I was blessed to marry a wonderful woman, so she allowed me to help with the planning. Some things, I didn't have a say-so, but I remember we were looking at a cake. We were actually going to go to Vegas to get married, and we were going to have it at the Wynn Hotel.
Top shelf
and,
place.
Oh, it was going to be nice. Well, you know, it was cost-effective. It was in Vegas. It makes sense. However, the cake cost $38, almost $40 a slice for the cake.
Wow.
The cake was a couple thousand dollars. It was going to come out to be literally about $40 a slice. And I just couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it.
Could not do it. Did not make sense. I've never tasted a cake. And, you know, I'm a pretty big guy. So I've tasted many cakes, and I will say I've never tasted a cake that's worth $40.
Wow.
A slice.
That's impressive stuff.
Hey, well,
so what did you settle on?
So we ended up having our wedding in Charlotte, and our reception, we had just a few people. We kept it very small, intimate. It was great. And our reception was actually, I think the whole amount came out to $650. Now, the beautiful part about this is I was able to take my bride on a beautiful honeymoon. We were gone for 3 weeks. So I convinced her to say, let's not spend this on everybody else. Let's spend it on ourselves.
That's fascinating.
So what we did, we went to France. We went to the French Riviera, went to Paris. I mean, it was Monaco.
Me.
Oh, it was big time now.
Wow!
And
well, I know how you roll, man. So you just came back from the Asian tour, so I see. So what's nice about what you've done is you spend your money on experiences rather than things.
There you go.
And that's a beautiful thing. Yes.
And those are conversations we had. We had a beautiful
mm-hmm.
wedding,
mm-hmm.
But we also had a beautiful honeymoon with just her and I, and we grew so much even closer together. During that time, and that's what, you know, I want other couples to have as well. The wedding is great, but it's for everybody else. Not that you don't need to do it, because someone's desire is going to be different than mine. I understand that, but making sure that whatever you decide to do, that you both grow closer together in making that decision. If the wedding is going to be it, and you're going to grow closer together through that, then fantastic. And
okay.
That could be a way of doing it too, because of the time that you spend in it. It could grow you together, or I've seen it the other way too.
Right, exactly.
It push you apart.
So let's talk about how couples can fund the wedding. I mean, not everybody's going to have a $600 wedding. Let's be real clear.
Okay. That's right.
Right?
Let's just
put that out there in our listening audience.
That's
right. But how are couples funding weddings? Now, we know that, you know, in the past, you know, the father of the bride would pay for everything, right? That's changed. Now bride and groom themselves will pay for the wedding about 30% of the time, they say, and parents pay about maybe 17% of the time they fund the wedding. So how does this happen these days?
Most of the time what we find is people are paying for their own weddings or a portion of it. So you have to save. If it's going to cost you $10,000 for your portion, you have to find a way to save that money. So that means you need to look at your budget. Again, focusing on your daily budget, what can I cut out? Do I need to cut out Starbucks? Do I need to reduce my cable bill? Do I need to downsize my car? Do I, you know, so I can use cheaper gas?
Well, you're making this not so much fun now, man.
I know it's not.
I mean, but
I know
go ahead.
Yeah. But what we're talking about, if we want to do it right and you're paying for it and you don't have the disposable income per se, you don't want to wait 2.5 or 3 years to get married, right?
Right.
So you look at the budget and you start saving. Cut back where you can, where you're comfortable with. And if you're not comfortable to do it, then you can't spend it. It's as simple as that.
Can I take out a loan for $5,000-$10,000?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. I will tell you, this is one of the first ways to get an early exit in the wedding. Because now you already have enough pressures. You know, we're going to have children, or you may already have children, and where we're going to live, and all these other financial concerns you're going to have. So what you're saying, I'm going to add to that?
Yeah, because we're in love, man. We're in love, and we want to do this thing, and this is going to be a ceremony for the ages.
Mm. Grand opening, grand closing. That's it.
Oh, my God. That's it. Oh, man.
That's it.
Oh, man. You know, you're killing me here, man.
You're going to start wrong from the very beginning. You're going to start wrong from the very beginning, and that's just something that you just don't want to do. So getting loans, and typically these are unsecured loans, high-interest loans, that can cause a challenge. That can cause a challenge. When this is the time that you want to minimize those and just appreciate each other. So let's say no to loans. Everybody who's listening, say no to wedding loans. No.
Wow, man. You just put a pin in a lot of balloons here, man. Okay. Let's just have a moment of silence here. Okay. So, and yeah, what about credit cards? I mean, what about that? And you talked about these, you know, low-interest credit cards. I mean, you know, we can find a couple of those. Zero interest for the year and pay for it over the year. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
If you have...
I'm trying to save this couple here, man.
I know. If you have to have this wedding, it's mandatory, you need to do it, then you can get a 0% credit card. And typically, they'll give you 15 to 21 months to pay it off. You have to make sure that you can afford to pay those monthly payments every month. I'm still against it.
Our listening audience cannot see your face. It's like a deep sense of sadness, you know, just the idea.
Because you get married, you're supposed to be saving. You know, we just talked about a couple of weeks ago about college education.
Yes,
how that's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars by the time, you know, children who are born now are going to be 18. We got to start planning for that. We got to make sure you have life insurance. What if something happens to you unexpectedly? You have disability protection. What happens if you become disabled? All these things you have to think about. But yet, you don't want to focus on those. You want to focus on getting a huge loan for a wedding.
Well, that's
the challenge.
Well, I'm going to kill you now.
Okay.
What about the price of rings? All right, listen, this is a drop-dead issue here.
Okay.
So how much should couples be thinking about in terms of the price of rings? Moment of silence.
That's a good question. That's a good question, Nick. You hear many different answers to this question. One common one is 1 month's salary.
One month's salary. Okay.
So if you make $60,000 in a year gross,
right,
you can spend $5,000 on the ring.
Okay.
One thing I will say is if you decide to, and you know what, I'm going to say this. I feel a little bit different about rings than I do even the wedding, because worst case scenario, we can go hawk that ring if we need to. Okay.
Oh, God, you're just killing this love thing, dude.
The second thing is, I know you have the memories for the wedding forever.
Yes.
But you have that ring. She's going to wear that. He's going to wear that. Every day.
That's
right. But what you don't want is now I have a bill for a wedding ring I'm paying off, and I have the wedding that I'm paying off, and then I might have the other spouse's ring I'm trying to pay off.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a whole lot. So it all comes into play. Look, I want everybody to be happy. Have the wedding of their dreams, but also have nice rings and all those things. But it all comes to planning. Just make sure you plan efficiently and effectively so you can have everything you want, but also have some savings in the bank as well, because that's going to be the key. What about that emergency reserve, that 6 to 12 months living expenses that you're going to have? That's going to be the key. And you don't want to squander all of that just on the wedding.
Well, Glenn, this is some incredible, valuable news that I'm sure our listening audience could use. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the exciting part of getting married.
You're listening to The Worth Report with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright, giving you financial news you can use.
I've just never been fluent in finances. Let's face it, I can make money, and I'm really good at spending money. But beyond that, not so much. But that's where Worth Financial, Glenn Wright, and his team come in. You see, when it comes to financial literacy, they're like translators. They've helped me understand my finances and how I can make my finances work for me now, tomorrow, and well into the future. And they can do the same for you. In fact, I'd encourage you to pick up the phone right now and call Worth Financial. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. So call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or simply visit worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com. Hey, there's nothing wrong with speaking a new language.
Financial news you can use. This is The Worth Report. Now, back to your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Love and happiness.
Welcome back to The Worth Report. Glenn, this has been a great conversation about marriage and weddings. And we realize that they can be expensive endeavors. And they can really make couples kind of sad to reflect back on how much they actually spent on what was a great idea, but now they got to pay for it for years to come. What are some great tips that you can provide couples who are obviously deeply in love and they want to make this the most perfect occasion, but they don't want to go into serious debt?
Well, we already talked about in the previous session about zero interest credit cards, using those. When you go and you buy a ring or some of these things that you typically would finance for a wedding, the interest rates tend to be very, very high. So at the jewelry store is 15, 19, 20. I've seen as high as 29%.
Wow.
So using a 0% credit card ensures that you can pay this off faster. That's going to be the first part. Two is... we are huge on reward points. Look at how much it's going to cost you to bring family in, or if you're going to have a destination wedding, look at the travel cost and look at some reward cards. If you're going to start a year too early, you can get 300,000-500,000 points before your wedding, and that can be used for your honeymoon. It can be used for rooms for family, travel for family. That can save you tens of thousands of dollars. And be bold on what you ask for. Instead of asking for this registry, if you don't have it, just ask for cash. You know, So when you're getting married, ask for the dollar bills. And that way, you can use that money to pay off the cost of feeding these people, as well as, you know, some of these other
people.
Costs.
Yeah,
you know.
So ask your guest, instead of a registry, send cash.
As for cash.
Nice.
Because, you know, I mean, think about it. People typically give you a gift that you may or may not want anyway.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
even with the registry.
Going back to the dark place.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
No, but you're
I've heard time and time again.
You're right.
You know, I had a registry, but they still gave me this pair of socks I didn't want.
Right.
Know?
Oh,
so,
goodness.
So therefore, if you're asking for cash only, they're going to give you cash. And what I have found is that people tend to give you more in cash than they would for the gift because they don't want to seem like they're too cheap.
Now you're
right?
talking.
Right?
All right.
So
now
I could go buy these mugs for $5, but instead of giving you the $5 mug, I got to at least give you $25 in cash or gift card or something like that.
That's right.
Right?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Wow,
so,
that's good stuff.
So that's what I call the come up.
Yeah.
So actually, if you plan this right, Nick, you get the right people there.
Wow.
You may actually make a profit on this wedding.
Oh, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Wow. Return on your investment.
That's right. That's it.
Wow. That's right. And they can all, in fact, quite frankly, can invest in the honeymoon.
Yeah, there you go.
You can have a destiny. You can have a place you like to go, and you can say, listen, this is where we're going, and can you invest this? We're going to Europe. We're going to Egypt. We're going to travel.
Right.
Right? And I think I would give more, perhaps, to something like that, or maybe not, but I'm just saying I'd be interested, you know?
No, I agree. I definitely think using cash can certainly be beneficial to help you pay some of these loans off if you have them, or you can pocket the money, which I think
is
excellent. Yeah. So, but be aware, look at, you know, try to save everywhere you can, of course, because we want your marriages to be sound, secure, and stable.
Yes.
So it can last a lifetime.
That's right.
And you don't want to start off in the hole.
That's right. Because ideally, it would be nice to, you know, start the relationship the way you're going to proceed. And that's a hard conversation. This is hard information you've been sharing. But it makes a lot of sense. And as I mentioned before, it sounds logical, but people are romantic and they're in this different state. And this is helpful.
That's right. I think it allows great dialogue to really understand where both of you are. And it starts that conversation about money.
Absolutely.
Because many times in counseling, they mm-hmm. talk about many aspects, but leave out the financial aspect.
They do.
And really understanding it. So you may be speaking with someone who has done well in their marriage,
mm-hmm.
but may not be the best financial steward.
Yeah.
So it's important that if you go through counseling, talk to a financial person,
mm-hmm.
talk to a financial counselor, talk to a certified financial planner, so you can get a better understanding of where each one of you are financially. So especially because of all these new dynamics, how roles are changing.
Yes.
It's just so important to make sure that you plan properly.
Okay. So along with the marriage counseling, you have to have financial counseling as well. That's what I'm hearing you say.
That's it.
Right?
That's part of it. That's part of it.
Well, to all the couples that are looking to get married in the next few months, this month as well, God bless you. And stay financially wise.
That's it. We want you to have a long, prosperous marriage, but nothing happens without you putting a little work into it. So this is going to be part of it as well. Go ahead and let's get your money together. Let's save what we can on the wedding. Enjoy your honeymoon. Let's use some points if we can there. If we can't afford it, let's get some cash from some of our family, one way or another. Even if we don't have a rich uncle, then you might have some family members who can just give you a dollar amount as a gift. So let's use these to have some happy weddings.
May you live happily ever after. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Take it easy, Glenn.
See you.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com. I've just never been fluent in finances. Let's face it, I can make money and I'm really good at spending money. But beyond that, not so much. But that's where Worth Financial, Glenn Wright, and his team come in. You see, when it comes to financial literacy, they're like translators. They've helped me understand my finances and how I can make my finances work for me now, tomorrow, and well into the future. And they can do the same for you. In fact, I'd encourage you to pick up the phone right now and call Worth Financial. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. So call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or simply visit worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com. Hey, there's nothing wrong with speaking a new language.